Welcome to the Hacker Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Jaren Swab, and today I'm going to spin off of what I talked about a few episodes back about me and my crazy attempt at trying to de-Google my phone. So, quick recap for all of you who might have missed that episode. I had my phone completely Google service free a few years back. Bought a new phone, made the foolish mistake to buy it from a carrier. It was at a great discount. I saved some money, but the downside was I was not able to unlock the bootloader at all until the phone was paid off. And so the phone finally was paid off, and I said, okay, let's get at this. And there was just hoop after hoop to jump through. It was absolutely ridiculous, but today was the day. The phone has been unlocked, the bootloader has been unlocked, everything is good to go, and I'm running Lineage OS without any Google services. Now, if you do go through the rigmarole of unlocking your bootloader and flashing a custom ROM, a custom version of Android to your phone or your mobile device, and you use Lineage, by default, it comes with no Google apps, no Google services. And if you want those things while running Lineage, you have to install them at boot time, but the same time you install Lineage OS. So you install Lineage OS through the command line using fastboot and ADB, and that's the same time where you would sideload these Google applications in there, because as soon as you boot into Lineage OS, that is no longer an option. At least that's what they claim. Now, in my opinion, it'd be totally useless. Right? Like, why would you go through the trouble of unlocking your bootloader to install Lineage OS on your phone just to put Google services back on it in the first place? The whole reason I did this is to have control over my device. If I didn't want, let's say, Google Calendar on my phone, I had no choice. It was on there. I could disable it, yes, but that's not really worth it. Like, why can't you just delete it? It's annoying. And I understand the whole idea of, like, doing that for general users and not having them mess up their devices. I get it. These devices can be expensive, so can a laptop, but you tend to have more control over your laptop, except when using something like macOS or you're buying a MacBook. Those are different situations, like that's walled garden, but even then, you kind of still have some level of ability and control over the device. I have using a Mac for my job, and I still have command line. I can still run Brood, install certain things, and I still have the ability to do things I'm used to doing. Command line stuff through a Unix-like interface, Unix-like operating system, I should say. But that same control is almost non-existent on a mobile device, unless you go through the hassle of unlocking your bootloaders and installing a custom ROM. But I did it today. Today was the day. Recording this on an app I downloaded, so I don't have Google Play services. I don't have Google Play Store. I can't get apps from them because I don't have it installed, and you can't install it without Google Play services. So, I use F-Droid, which is another app store, and it features free and open source software. I'm sure most of you have heard of that. I'd be surprised that those of you who listen to the show don't know that, but if you don't know that, go check it out. It's super awesome. And in F-Droid, there is an app called Aurora, A-U-R-O-R-A, I think is how it's spelled, and you can sign into a Google Play Store anonymously and download apps that you might need. Of course, if you don't have Google Play services, some things might not work, just how it's going to end up being. I find most of the time it's not a problem. Most of the time, the apps that I need to use that I cannot get from F-Droid, the only thing that really happens is that they just don't send push notifications. Because a lot of times these apps rely on Google services to push notifications to your phone, which doesn't really make much sense to me. Like, why can't they just push the notification to your phone, like the apps on your phone? But apparently, for some reason, most apps send the notification to Google, and Google sends it down to you. It's, like, kind of stupid, but whatever. So I use the app Marco Polo for chatting with my family. All my sisters use it. My mom kind of uses it, but talk to my family. That's what they use, so I was like, whatever, I'll use that. And I can use it. It works fine. I just don't get notifications. Not a big deal. Which is kind of nice, because it doesn't, like, get in the way and like, bother me all day, you know? So that's an update on that. It's been going really well, and it feels really nice to be back on just pure Android with... Even though the OnePlus devices use OxygenOS, and it's a very lightly themed version of Android, just running AOSP, the Android Open Source Project version of Android, it's very nice. And you get the latest updates, obviously. So all the information is on Lineage's website. You can check out your device, see if it's maintained, and all that. The older the phone is, the less likely it's going to be able to be maintained. I looked into the Nexus 5. I have an old Nexus 5 laying around, and while they have it out there, no one's maintaining it to really make sure that it's actually working properly. So if you want it, some devices might be that way. So that's all I have to say about that. In other news, I do want to mention that I'm spinning up a new website. I don't think I talked about this at all before. And so the new website, so you may or may not know my website, jrswab.com, where my blog is currently. And that's where most of my stuff was. What I don't like about that site particularly, now the name doesn't matter, but like where it's being hosted, it's using a managed server, like a shared server through a domain host. And so I can only do so much on it. So what I decided to do was pick up a VPS and stick my own stuff on there. So I have a lot more control over what I'm doing. So all of my Git repositories are going to end up, are currently being migrated over to my website, my new one, which is swab.dev. swab.dev, and the Git repositories are at git.swab.dev. I also have a new email address there with that as well, which is jaren@swab.dev. So if you want to message me about the show or about our repositories or about whatever, that's what you should use, because that's what I will get. I don't really see other emails often. I have some stuff for like my work and stuff, but other than that, like jaren@swab.dev is what you should use to get in touch with me when it comes to the content in my code that I write for open source projects. I'm also going to be moving my blog there as well. The domain name jrswab is going to end up being just redirected to swab.dev. Swab.dev is going to be like the overarching domain for everything that I do tech related. So for a long time, it's been under that one domain name, which was fine, because that's what my username was on like every social network. But I'm not focusing on those anymore. I'm not posting on TikTok ever. I'll never post there probably ever again, even though there's like 76,000 people that follow me there. I absolutely hate that application. It's complete garbage. I don't use Facebook to post things outside of like work-related stuff. When I say work-related stuff, I mean like I do coaching for programmers and helping them get jobs. That's what that's for. And even that, I don't like using it even then. And then Instagram, where I had a lot of content on there, tech-related content, just, you know, for whatever, stuff about this show and everything, I'm really not digging that either. So I'm going to have RSS feeds for everybody out there who wants to consume, who wants to listen to this podcast, who wants to read my blog posts and just general posts in general, things that I create and want to put out there. You'll find it on swab.dev. That being said, wherever you're listening to this podcast, I'm also in the process of downloading all of the files that I have used. I've uploaded to the site called anchor.fm, which is now owned by Spotify. So I'm taking all of these podcasts and I'm putting them on my site, and I'm going to have a separate RSS feed there. So if you want to be 100% positive that you will find new episodes, once that RSS feed is up and running, I will let you guys know on the podcast, and just change your RSS feeds for the podcast to that. If you're not using RSS feed to listen to this podcast, you should be. There's a plethora of applications out there that you can use to subscribe to RSS feeds. For podcasts, my favorite RSS feed application is called AntennaPod. Super nice app. It's a RSS feed for just podcasts, essentially. I never tried to put a different RSS feed in there, so, I mean, try it, see if it happens. But use that, and you can even search for podcasts on there that are on, like, big, that are on iTunes. It uses iTunes. I don't know why they use iTunes, but they use iTunes to, like, find podcasts. But you can also just type it in manually. So it'll be easy. That'll make the short link super easy to type in to get to. Probably something like swab.dev/podcast/RSS, probably something like that. But I'll let you know. I'll keep you up to date. Yeah, that's all I got to say. So a lot of changes happening to not necessarily this podcast, but I'll probably change. I think I want to change the name as well, but we'll see where it goes. Yeah, let me know what you think. Shoot me an email at jaren@swab.dev. And I will give you guys all the links and stuff in upcoming episodes as things happen. And if you are into .dot files and stuff that I'm creating, check out git.swab.dev. All right, thanks for listening, and remember, stay curious.